Yeah, it's Baron.
Oh, no, don't do that. You can't start that way. Oh, God.
What is it called when the thing that Nate Vernald does?
I don't know.
There's a thing that our good friend Nate Vernald, who's a very funny comedian, he started this bit where he puts, yeah, it's been 1 week since you looked at me, just that part into various other
songs,
very popular songs.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it is the funniest thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. We saw him do it live in front of a crowd once, but then he just released the tracks that you can actually get online. I think Camille might be looking this up.
It's called 1 week, the song, right? Is called 1 week.
Yeah.
It's called Week Music Volume 1. This is the most threatening name I've ever heard.
Week Music Volume 1 by Nate Fernald. Google it. This is a bonus episode, so we get to start however we
this
like.
This is Camille Nanjiani.
This is Emily V. Gordon, and this is Staying In with Emily and Camille. Bonus!
Bonus episode. We have a guest on. We have Linda Holmes on today, who, if you don't know, hosts a podcast called Pop Culture Happy Hour.
I would say it's your favorite podcast other than this one.
It is my favorite podcast.
I just don't listen to them. Otherwise, I bet it would be mine, too.
It's, I love this podcast. They obviously, you know, it's pop culture, so they talk about movies, TV shows, books, all that stuff. I just find them all to be, and they have a guest every time. It's her, Stephen Thompson, Glenn Weldon, and then they have a rotating guest. My appreciation for TV shows and movies I love has, like, grown and changed since listening to them.
Oh, wow, because they're so good at kind of discussing them.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, I've tried to listen to a lot of movie podcasts, and I find a lot of the hosts to be very, I do not like the word pretentious at all. I don't like that word. However...
Wait, you don't like using that word?
I just don't like it. I don't think it means anything. I think people say pretentious when they don't have a
better word.
A better critique of it.
Gotcha.
That said, I find a lot of them to be pretentious, overly intellectual. These guys are all very, very smart. But the way they talk about movies and TV shows, I just find to be... It's highly, highly intelligent, but also very relatable.
That's cool.
Anyway, I could not recommend this podcast more. Pop Culture Happy Hour. She's on here to talk about TV shows... recommending TV shows that you can watch during this time. New shows, old shows. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're watching a lot of TV right now. And I should say I have been on...
You've done it a couple times, yeah.
I've done that show a couple times. Linda and I share a affinity for romantic comedies. We've had a lot of conversations about this subject. So we
didn't really talk about rom-coms during this this episode, so you'll have to look for
no,
that.
No, we didn't.
We'll do that sometime later.
We did not. Maybe we'll have her back on to talk about those.
Linda's great. Enjoy this episode. And also, we had a weird audio thing, so...
Oh, my God. Okay, so you know how usually... you start recording a podcast,
you hit
record,
and then you talk.
This is not one of those times.
Oh, what happens this time?
Well, what happened this time was one of us.
That would be Camille.
It was me.
Yeah.
I did not hit record for the first 5 minutes. And then I hit record.
I watched your face when it happened.
I apologized to Linda and Emily. We went over what we had done already.
So when this episode actually starts, you will hear, it sounds like we're starting kind of in mid-sentence, and that's because we are.
But we didn't. We realized and we went back and got everything, all our recommendations. And so just know that that's happening.
And one more time, I'll plug May 22nd on Netflix. You'll get to see The Lovebirds with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae.
Watch it.
Watch it.
A lot of it is kind of about the phenomenon of him, but also kind of how teams work and how you assemble super teams, kind of.
Oh, Linda, something horrible has happened. It didn't record the first part.
This thing is...
It's my fault. I'm taking it completely.
100%.
We'll leave this in, too. So sorry.
Whoa.
That's okay. It's no problem.
Camille, I watched his face. I watched his face when he realized this, and I was like, here we go.
Sorry.
I've been there, you guys. It's totally fine. I've been there.
Let's talk about Michael Jordan first, and then we'll talk about the other thing.
Yeah, so this is Linda Holmes.
Okay, cool.
Let's maybe introduce her again.
I'll just, this is going to be weird. I didn't record the first It wasn't that long. It was about 5 minutes.
Okay, sure.
But still.
But it was all gold.
It was gold.
All gold.
It was really pretty good.
Secrets to the universe were contained in this 5 minutes.
Oh, my
and
God.
You know who's never going to know? No one outside of these three human beings.
I mean, we had a great Vicky Jones, Ricky Lake. I don't know who.
You're bringing Ricky Lake into this?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Linda Holmes is the host of Pop Culture Happy Hour, a show that I adore.
This is probably Kumail's favorite podcast, I would say.
Listen, yeah, it has truly been
I just don't listen to any, otherwise it would be mine.
Emily does not listen to podcasts, but I listen to, you know, whenever a new... The first thing I do when I sort of go back to my office is check and see if there's a new episode. And when there is, it's very, very exciting. So thrilled to have you. And you were talking about the new Michael Jordan documentary when I realized.
Yeah.
Because you have seen the first 8 parts of this 10-part documentary, which is, and not a huge sports fan, which I, not a huge kind of Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls fan, which is important to me because I'm not, I'm a casual sports observer.
Linda, you're a sports fan, but not a basketball fan.
Not as much an NBA basketball fan. I used to be a big college basketball fan when my sister was going to Duke. I watched a lot of college basketball. I don't watch as much basketball as I used to, for sure.
That's so funny that you say that, because I'm from North Carolina. I'm from, like, Winston-Salem. So we had Wake and we had Duke.
Sure.
And I ended up going to a lot of college basketball games as a young woman because they were in our area. And I was... It's like, to many people I know, well, yeah, I got to see the Rolling Stones like, you know, 20, 30 times. I don't know. They were there. You know what I mean? People get very upset with me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my sister was at Duke in the early 90s. So, or late 80s, early 90s. So she was there at exactly kind of the ideal moment. And then, you know, we all obviously remained fans for at least a while after she graduated. Cause there's nothing like being a bandwagon jumper and feeling like you have a justification for it. So it was like, oh yeah, I just got here, but it's cause my sister goes there. So what are you going to do? And by the way, there is also a great ESPN documentary about Christian Laettner from Duke, which is called I Hate Christian Laettner. It's also very good.
Okay.
But yeah, so the Jordan Bulls documentary is called The Last Dance. It's a 10-part, thing that they're dropping on ESPN essentially once a week. They moved it up because people are isolated and inside. They decided, you know, well, we have it and people really want it and they're excited about it, so we'll drop it early.
And is it, would you refer to it as juicy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I mean, it's not like scandalous juicy, but if you want to hear a lot of grown men who do not like each other any more than they did like 25 years ago. And they're still mad about, you know, or if you want to hear Michael Jordan explain that, like, Michael Jordan will be like, you know why I won that game? Because a guy did not greet me at a restaurant and I was so mad that I went back and won the whole game. Because I was so mad that the coach didn't greet me at the restaurant.
Wow. Yeah. So when I'm mad, that is not, my anger is not constructive in any way.
Yeah. On one hand, it's like nice that he's channeling it into something positive. But on the other hand, like, hey, buddy, maybe take it down a notch, you know, maybe take that anger down.
Right. And then, but you also think like, were you really not going to try? Like you, right. Michael Jordan, were really like, you weren't going to try until you got really mad at that one dude.
Like, yeah. Is he like a basketball Hulk of some sort?
Yeah. And then in that case, the coach is maybe going around paying other coaches to be mean to him right before games. Like, there's something going on there. Yeah.
That's what I would have done. But you do get to watch a lot of like really good basketball and like, it is exciting. I mean, that was a really exciting team and it's fun to watch a lot of that stuff. And they have a lot of, really fun interviews, including Barack Obama, who, they caption him as Barack Obama, former Chicago resident.
That's great. It also must be weird to watch something where it's thousands of people packed into a stadium right now, you know?
God, it really is. And it's kind of, you see all these guys like hugging and it's like, stop hugging. You can't hug.
Right.
You're getting all you're sweating all over each other. It's full of germs.
There's so much sweat involved in a basketball game. It is true.
Well, I mean, that is obvious why the breakout at in the NBA is what led to sort of everything getting shut down, right? Like NBA was the first sort of, it was Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, and NBA. Those were the first big ones.
Idris is over here like, really? Not me?
Idris, I got to tell you, Idris, I love Idris, huge fan. He was not in that first group that turned the tide.
It's such an odd thing. It's a little bit, Linda, I'm going to assume you're familiar with the movie Heathers.
I am familiar with the movie Heathers.
Doesn't it feel on occasion a little bit like when Shannen Doherty's like, when a character attempts suicide and Shannen Doherty's like, it's just another example of somebody who's a dweeb who's like trying to imitate the cool kids by attempting suicide. It's this odd thing of like, how has this become a badge? It's become an odd badge.
Yeah,
I've been
trying to get my agent to get me COVID for a long time.
Well, it's kind of like by the time, you know, like, obviously it's kind of funny that the first really big one was Tom Hanks, because it's like the biggest person it could maybe be is Tom Hanks, unless it was like Beyonce.
Oh,
so
God.
It's like you started, I know, don't even say it. Patooey. But like that's kind of, they kind of started really big and had nowhere to go but down from there in terms of like how big of a deal it was.
Right.
So it's kind of like, look, I really like Andy Cohen, but by the time Andy Cohen got it, it was like,
yeah,
okay
right. Sure.
But,
yeah.
And that's sad. And it's sad as it is for everyone.
Yeah,
but celebrity-wise, it was not as much of a celebrity story. And obviously, I'm incredibly happy that they all seem to be doing well.
Everybody's doing well. We're just joking here. Nobody wants anyone to have COVID.
But you're right. They started with an American treasure.
I love
this
they.
That's what she said. She said they started with.
I think I did.
Novel coronaviruses started. Tom Hanks is, I can't think of a less controversial, more beloved figure in all of pop culture.
No. This is, I think so. So Stephen Thompson, who's on Pop Culture Happy Hour with me, has often said that like there's a very limited number of famous people who have a 100% approval rating. And when we found out, because he had always said one of them was Sully, who landed the plane on the Hudson.
Right.
He was like, it's like Betty White and Sully.
Yeah.
And so when we found out Tom Hanks was going to play Sully in a movie, it was like, well, obviously, because you know who else has practically a 100% approval rating? Tom Hanks.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
And also, you know who else he played with a 100% rate? Mr. Rogers.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Exactly.
And Forrest Gump.
Exactly.
Who was always beloved by me as a child.
Emily, I have bad news. Forrest Gump was not a real guy.
My favorite folk hero. Don't you remember when he was on the couch with John Lennon and he gave him the idea for Imagine?
Yeah, he met John F. Kennedy.
I was going to say, it seems impossible that he's not a real guy because I've seen him in many historical photos.
Hey, honestly, every once in a while, I do think that Forrest Gump was a real person.
Well, you know, if you're still confused, go watch that footage now. It does not age well. We thought it was like, how? Go ahead.
At the time, that was some hot CGI.
Oh, yeah. It was sorcery. And now you're like, you see the seams.
You know what does still hold up? I was thinking about effects that still hold up. I think the first Jurassic Park still holds up very, very much.
Uh-huh.
That's one that I would think really holds up.
Yeah. I think they do this really smart thing where before you first see the dinosaurs, you see the character's reaction so much. So you're really primed
I'm going to be amazed. Yeah.
And then you are when you see this.
Well, and a lot of it is practical, right? Like a lot of them are puppets and big, like actual physical objects. I always prefer anything that's actual physical objects
We talked about that a lot.
Stuff that's drawn.
For Lord of the Rings, which we're huge fans of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, that those movies, the orcs, are most of them are practical.
Yeah, they're all makeup.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they look amazing. And then you go to the Hobbit series, which I'm not as much of a fan of, but also specifically a lot of those orcs or whatever, a lot of the creatures in that are CG.
Right.
And they just look like they were filmed in moonlight. Do you know what I mean? Like, they look like moonlight's always hitting them, even in the daytime. It's such a bizarre thing.
I have seen two Hobbit movies and zero Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, Linda. Now we have a suggestion for you.
Okay.
I know.
I'm sure the reason you haven't watched them, is it because that sort of genre is not your bag?
Yes.
I would say, and listen,
we're
going to be the
bag.
Millionth person to say this to you,
sure,
but the first one really is, it's our favorite, but that's neither here nor there.
If you get bored, and want something to do. They're out there for
you. There's 12 hours.
What other things would you...
I hear you.
This is a tough pitch. You know the genre you don't like? Well, you want 12 hours of it?
And that's just if you do the extended. You don't have to do the extended edition.
No, you have to do the extended.
Okay, fair enough. What else would you recommend that people consume?
In the news side.
Or in any side, really.
This is the thing that we didn't record.
Oh, yeah. You could also mention the thing.
So on the... On the new side, there is a new HBO series that's called Run that is kind of part comedy, part thriller. And it's Merritt Weaver and Donal
Gleason.
Oh, my God.
Gleason.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What is wrong with me? I was suddenly like, it's not Donal Logue. It's not. What are you? What is wrong with me? I knew it 5 minutes ago. This is why not turning on the recording is so bad.
No, it's totally
Camille
bad.
Camille screwed us all.
Donal Gleason, Merritt Weaver. They kind of get on a train together and you sort of don't really know what's going on. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge is an executive producer. It comes from Vicki Jones, who was a writer on Killing Eve and Fleabag. So they have a kind of a, it's kind of in that sensibility. It's very, it's also very centered around kind of understanding this really flawed and interesting woman, Ruby, who Merritt Weaver plays. So I like that one a lot. It's weird, but it's good.
Okay.
It's very good, but odd.
How would you
in a good way.
Rank it among the other Phoebe Waller-Bridge and that her pantheon?
Well, you know, I've seen 5 of these and I don't remember exactly how long the season is. I think it's going to take a while. I'm not sure. I think it's as good as Fleabag.
Right.
But I think it could be. I think it's one of those things where you really want to see where they're going with it because it's hard to evaluate. But I definitely think like the chemistry between the characters is super awesome. So if you're interested in kind of thriller rom-com mixes, check it out.
That sounds
If it's even in the same conversation as Fleabag, that's a massive win because shows don't get much better than Fleabag.
Yeah,
exactly.
Have you seen Crashing? Have you seen her series Crashing?
I haven't. Vicki Jones also worked on that. So she kind of has been in a full, she's done the full kind of course, I think.
That is a sexy show. That is a very, and it's got like, it's a little more premise-y than I think her other stuff. You can kind of feel, it feels like early Phoebe Waller-Bridge to me, but also it is so sexy in a way that I have not seen a TV show kind of accomplish in a while. I would highly recommend it. And it's like 6 episodes. It's a lot like Fleabag. You can get done with it in like 2 hours and then you're just like foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, you know what show is sort of impressively sexy is Insecure. They have a lot of stuff on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
HBO shows stopped having sex for a little while. Like that was like the big draw of HBO shows.
Game of Thrones didn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about consensual sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones had all the sex for everyone.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would mention in terms of new stuff is that Hulu has this thing, Mrs. America, which actually was made by FX, but then it went to Hulu. I have very mixed feelings about it. It's about the failure to pass the ERA in the 1970s. If you are up for spending a lot of hours thinking about Phyllis Schlafly, Kate Blanchett plays Phyllis Schlafly. Rose Byrne plays Gloria Steinem. Margot Martindale plays Bella Abzug. Ooh. And it has a wonderful big, Tracy Ullman plays Betty Friedan. It has a big and wonderful, and Uzu Adoba plays Shirley Chisholm. It has a big and wonderful cast. It is in many ways a very depressing story, but it's a terrific cast.
I mean, the idea of Kate Blanchett doing an FX series or a Hulu series, doing anything on television, it feels like that's the thing I've been the most excited about, but also not necessarily a world I kind of felt like living in currently. That's why I haven't, like, otherwise I would have already watched it today. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'll get to this, but I think it's going to make me angry and upset.
That's how I felt about it. I was like, I can't argue with the artistry of how it was made. And it's not just the acting, but I think also a lot of the directing is wonderful. But geez, I didn't want to think about Phyllis Schlafly that much. I have to admit.
In the best of times.
Yeah, but it's artful, and if you're interested in it, I think a lot of people really love it. So that's kind of the new stuff that I would recommend.
Okay, we're going to take a quick second for ads. We'll be back in just a moment.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered, but we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there anything old and nostalgic in your life that you found yourself going back to during In the Weirds, which is what we're calling this quarantine time?
Oh, I know you are. I know you are. My dog and I take your podcast on all of our walks.
I love your dog. I've never met your dog, but I love your dog from a distance.
Yeah, well, I love him too, even though he's a nervous fellow. But very lovable. So we try to kind of cope with each other's anxiety. But yeah, we listen to your show on our walks. In terms of old stuff that I have been watching, I would say the more kind of respectable sitcom that I have been watching a lot of is Cheers.
Yeah.
Which I kind of never get tired of, especially like early Cheers, like the first like three or four seasons of Cheers. Love it.
Cheers is a hot topic of controversy in the Gordon Nanjiani home right now.
I'm aware that it's a good show. I'm aware.
Tell me.
There are just a couple of shows from my childhood that I associate with like kind of this angst and anger and misery in a way that even hearing the theme song just like puts me in a horrible headspace. There's two shows. It's Cheers and it's MASH.
Both shows, I know MASH very, very well. I've seen a lot of MASH. Cheers, I don't know as well. I've been trying to get us to watch it. Mm-mm. I feel, Emily, that this reason that you've come up with is a little... I think it's a little rewriting of history.
Absolutely not. You are not inside this brain. You do not know what's happening in here. It's like upsets me in a way that like right now doesn't feel like a good idea for me.
Yeah, but Cheers is Linda, tell us why Cheers is great.
So, especially in the early seasons, it is very heavy on jokes. It is a great example of a workplace comedy where they don't really ever leave the workplace, almost ever. So you just get a lot of people kind of interacting in close quarters. The cast is great. It always makes me laugh. And in the early seasons in particular, the romantic comedy element between Ted Danson and Shelley Long works really well, particularly before they kind of fully turn her into like a prig kind of. Mm-hmm. In the early going, she's just really smart and kind of an intellectual in a group of people who aren't. So she often gets the better of people. She's often the one making the jokes, not the one who is the joke. So in those early seasons in particular, I think it's really wonderful.
I wonder why her character changed over time. Like, I wonder if it was like they got notes. I wonder if it was like people responded to her character in a certain way. Like, when things like that happen, I'm always curious.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that anytime it's unfair to say, but I think anytime you have any show that exists in a very like dude dominated industry, it's really hard for fully kind of complicated women to continue to exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened.
I think with certain sitcoms, with certain characters expand and certain characters contract. And that's just what happens. Like they'll find certain characters start off in a box and they'll expand the box and give them more stuff to do. And then certain characters, they just sort of go back to whatever the formula is that they thought worked once, you know? And so,
and they double down on it.
Right.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
That's
definitely happens.
I think that's part of what happened.
I've seen a lot of Cheers, I should say, at my grandmother's house when, like, my grandmother would babysit us. I've seen some Cheers. I just, there's something about it.
It's not for you, and that's, I should accept that, and that should be fine.
This is part of what this intervention is. Linda and I have called this intervention for you so that accept.
Linda's on my side.
So that you can accept.
I don't know if you've been.
It's okay to watch Cheers on your own.
Paying attention.
I watched all of The Americans by myself. You can watch a show.
Well, I wanted to watch The Americans too.
Well, you weren't.
I wasn't around.
Yeah.
I was not around. Yeah. We've been.
Wait, did you not watch that? Did you not watch The Americans?
No, he did not. He did not.
I have not seen any of it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Even I watched The Americans.
It's so good. And we just watched a movie, a '90s movie with Noah Emmerich in it last night, and I was like, oh, he's been great forever. He has been always great. Yeah. Yeah.
We've been watching
go ahead.
Old episodes in the same sort of vein. We've been watching Seinfeld a lot. You don't like Seinfeld?
Not particularly.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I feel like Cheers and Seinfeld are sort of very different shows because one is pretty character and relationship based and one is pretty cynical.
Right. And I also think, like, I just got to the point with Seinfeld, the same point that I felt like Sex and the City got to, where it was like every episode was just, let's see if we can make a catchphrase. And I was like, that's fine.
You're not wrong.
That's fine.
You're actually not wrong about that whatsoever.
I love Seinfeld.
I love Seinfeld. I've never seen Sex and the City I've seen maybe one episode, and I've seen that one episode several times somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Same.
Yeah.
I watched an episode of. And then a couple years later, it was on, and I was like, all right, I watched that one. I thought it was fine. I'll watch.
This one seems familiar.
And I started watching it, and I was like, wait, this is the one I saw like 5 years ago.
Yeah, in my head, there's only one episode of Sex and the City. And mine's the one where she's dating Ron Livingston, and he shows up on a motorcycle, and she doesn't want to ride it. That's all I got.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I got.
The
for
one
Sex and the
I
City.
Know.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen some of that show, but not all of it. Which one have you seen, Kamau?
There's one where the it's gonna sound gross, but there's something where it's like something with a glazed donut and cunnilingus. There's like a connection.
Wow,
that
sounds like a sticky situation.
It is. Okay, Emily.
Kim Cattrall.
But okay. I really, as I was watching it, I was like, wait, another donut plot line that's going into. Oh,
here
I've
we go.
Seen this
I
one.
I see what's happening.
I've seen this one.
I also.
It's all the same donut.
I also, for whatever reason, bought all of season one of Clarissa Explains It All, which is a Nickelodeon show from the mid-90s that I was maybe slightly too old for, but watched anyway. It's not that good, but she's pretty good. Melissa Joan Hart plays Clarissa, and she's like a quirky ne'er-do-well.
That's Sabrina.
Yeah, the teenage witch, in fact. Not the new Sabrina, but the old Sabrina.
No, I know.
Yeah.
What else are you watching, Linda?
So the more kind of like, this is more in the Clarissa Explains It All vein. I have also been watching quite a bit of the run of The Nanny.
Ooh, wow. How's The Nanny holding up?
I mean, not amazingly well. but I don't know why, but somehow it just became like, it's one of those things. So if you have one of these services like YouTube TV or Hulu or whatever, you can... some of them give you like infinite DVR, so you can just build up episodes of things that run on like obscure cable channels.
Oh.
And so it'll just save them forever for you. So I started saving episodes of The Nanny for some reason. And I wound up it's just one of those things where if I need something completely unrelated to anything I would ever think about in normal life, I watch old episodes of The Nanny.
A lot of people were stocking
great
up.
Great fashion.
You got to stock up on beans. You got to stock up on lentils. Yeah. You got to stock up on The Nanny on
get
DVR.
Get some Fran Drescher in there.
It's true.
So
it's really
it's
true.
It's a good fashion show, huh?
Excellent fashion. Yeah, she was a real fashionably specific kind of person. Very bright colors. Like geometric prints.
Yeah.
I love it.
I feel like
it's extremely 90s.
I feel like Susie Essman and Curb is kind of her spiritual successor in some ways. She is a very bright, loud dresser. And it's never a dress, it's never talked about. She just shows up in bonkers clothes all the time. It's kind of that's a thing I like about that show.
I think that's fair. Yeah. And I would also put in a vote for old seasons of like Top Chef or Survivor or America's Next Top Model, which I know Emily feels about that.
Yes, very much so. I rewatch it all the time. Often when I'm working out, that'll be like the thing that I just have on man. Yep. Good Lord. It's comfortable.
It's a good one.
It feels nice somehow. It scratches
Didn't you start over from the beginning, America's Next Top Model? Or was that Project Runway? Which one were you watching from the beginning again?
I was trying to watch Project Runway from the beginning, but you can only start with like season 9. They don't have the rest of them. You can't buy them. You can't buy Christian Siriano's season, which would be the one I would want to watch the most. Because it was like nobody else should have even been on the show. Like he was running circles around all of them the entire time. And you can't find that anywhere. You can't buy it. It's nowhere.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's a real bummer.
Yeah, we've been Nanny's one of those forgotten hits, you know, where it was like a big show, but you don't really hear about it very much anymore.
Isn't she on a show right now?
I am not sure.
I think she's on a CBS show right now. I think
so, but yeah. I mean like the show.
Sure,
the
no, I got like, you.
I remember. I've never seen a single episode of that.
I don't think I have either. Now that I think about it, yeah.
There used to be a lot more of those like hits that were like a ton of people watched them, but like nobody talked about them really. Like they were just things that people watched and liked, but they weren't kind of cultural conversation types of things. And I think that show was probably like that.
And it was pre-Twitter. So how did we know anybody was doing anything, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Totally. But Black Box.
It's your like... It's your like Scarecrow and Mrs. King type of show.
Yes.
You know?
I forgot about that show. Yeah, there's a lot of forgotten shows.
Yeah, well, there was this whole run of like 80s and 90s, like a man and a woman solve crime. Or
two
detectives
women.
Or our spies or whatever. Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, lots of those kinds of things. And also I should mention, I have used the period of isolation in the weird to catch up finally on Schitt's Creek, which I hadn't watched. So I also recommend that if you haven't already.
So great. I'm a season and a half away from the end. And I'm trying to like take my time a little bit, but man, what a great show.
That is a great show. He's somehow very good at being vulnerable, but also extremely caustic, which is a tough combination.
Yeah.
To pull off.
Yeah. I don't know anybody else that can really pull it off as well as he can.
Love that show.
Yeah.
I was delighted to hear that you guys enjoyed Portrait of a Lady on Fire so much.
Ooh, so good.
I honestly, it made me want to revisit all my, because there are so few movies that sort of get you like that, you know? And for me, they all have to be, even the movies I love, 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 there's a specific genre of movie, romance movies, rom-coms or romance movies that can like really get me like that. And it was that. It was Before Sunset. There aren't that many of those, you know. And then, of course, there was Notting Hill and Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've heard that you enjoy those. I have heard that you enjoy those.
Several times.
So, yeah, because Portrait of a Lady on Fire is on Hulu, Parasite's on Hulu now.
That's right. Yeah, if you have not gotten in there, get in there.
Two very different tastes that are both great.
Yep.
Get in there. And then I realized today that it's been too long since I watched Ocean's 11, and I'll probably watch Ocean's 11 again soon.
I rewatched that one fairly recently. That's the first one, right?
Yep. That's the first one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I watched the second half of it because you were watching it and I walked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very good heist movie. It's a very good like ensemble movie,
Just
too.
Movie stars being movie stars.
Hanging out, doing it up.
I don't like, was it the Ocean's 12 or something where like, is that the one with Julia Roberts?
She's in the first one too. She's in Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
She's like,
is that the
she's
one?
She's the real prize.
What's the one where someone looks at it and is like, oh, she looks like Julia Roberts? Is that not in the first
that
movie?
Does not
I think that's that's not the first one. I think that's the second one.
You did not appreciate that?
It really upset me a lot. I was like, what are you doing? Don't do that. I found it very upsetting.
It's a step too cute. It's definitely a step too cute.
Step too cute. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Linda. This was great.
I'm always so happy to talk to you guys, and I really, really appreciate your show because it's one of the few fun things one of the few fun things.
It is one of the few fun things. And again, apologize for not recording the first 5 minutes.
You guys are never going to know the gold that was in that first 5 minutes.
Oh, it's for us. It's for the three
it's
of us.
It's for the three of us. Lamb chop. We'll always have
lamb
chop.
Nobody's ever going to know that we couldn't figure out whether Vicky Lewis was Vicky Jones or Sherry Lewis or, you know.
Vinny
was...
Jones or Ricky Lake.
Or Ricky Lake. We then got to Ricky Lake.
It was a good time. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Linda.
Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you, guys.
And that was Linda Holmes.
Do we do outros?
Yeah, we do outros.
News to me, baby.
Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Email us, stayinginpodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll see you next week with a regular ep.
For the flagship episode. We're calling them flagships when it's non-guest.
Mothership.
Non-bonus.
Motherload. The motherload episodes.
The motherload episode.
And these are the baby loads. Oh, okay. Oh, God. Goodbye.
Goodbye.